Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Philly Sports Live. Steve Lewis here with you tonight on the first Sunday night of NFL football. Here is tomorrow. The NFL season officially begins for our Philadelphia Eagles. And we'll talk about a few things today. Since our last program, we've had two Sixers legends pass away. Moses Malone has passed away today. Before that, Daryl Dawkins had passed away. So just crazy to see those two guys gone in the span of a week. We don't really have any information yet on what happened to Moses. But that's real sad stuff. But also, we'll talk about some other things here. Looks like we have a pretty good college football team in this town. I'm going to be talking about, yes, the Temple Owls. It seems like it would be a strange thing to put good college football team in them in the same sentence. Zek was at the PSU game. He will tell us all about that. And just wanted to talk a little bit in detail about the Ruben Amaro being fired situation. Now, I understand completely the hurt that Phillies fans are feeling, the distraught, upset feelings they have about what's happened to this team over the past 4 years. We had gone from being in the golden age of Phillies baseball into being into a very depressing period, but as I listen to people speak over the past few days and kind of the jubilation of fans since this happened, I just feel like we have a classic example of a scapegoat here when it comes to Ruben Amaro. Now, granted, the team has been bad over the past 4 years, but to place this, so much of this blame on him, it's just not true. And not to mention, as of late, the guy's actually doing a pretty good job. I mean, it's irrelevant now because he is fired. But to me, it just was a classic scapegoat example. Too much blame was put on there. We'll go into detail about it. And it just kind of upsets me. Fans put so much negative feelings toward put all of this blame, channeling all of that towards one person. And I understand this guy was never likable here. I don't know if it was his personality. Maybe they just don't like the way he looked. I don't know what it was here. He just never was a beloved character, but just so much negativity surrounding this guy, and in my opinion, it didn't make any sense. You looked at this guy's record. He comes in 2009. He's dealt with a card where he has this pitcher, Cole Hamels, who can't throw a fastball anymore that year. Goes out and he makes some big moves. He gets you Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee goes out, pitches one of the best performances a Phillies had in a World Series game one. None of us would have traded that for anything. And he gave up absolutely nothing to get him. Get you Raul Ibanez. That's another guy. You wouldn't be getting to the World Series in 2009 without Raul Ibanez. Needed another pitcher. Brett Myers goes down. Get you Pedro Martinez. That was really fun. Another guy that gets you the World Series. All of this stuff seems to get kind of pushed away like it doesn't matter. Now, you might say, okay, well, that was then, Steve. How about now? Well, as Mike Zecca will tell you, who was just had watched the Reading Phillies win a playoff game, that team, our AA affiliate, is apparently going in playing for a championship now. So there's a bright future ahead of the Phillies, and Ruben Amaro is responsible, Zecca, for getting us there, and I definitely think he's been taken for granted for that.
Yeah, well, I guess first, Steve, definitely as always, great to be back with you here. Obviously, we'll we'll get into Eagles talk. I definitely do want to say a couple things also about the passing of Moses Malone as well. But I guess, yeah, definitely, obviously, the big news here this past week in Philadelphia was Ruben Amaro getting fired by the Phillies. I mean, you make some good points there, Steve. But, I mean, I think, and I told you this a couple hours ago off the air, I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, you look, this is a team that's going on 4 years not being in the playoffs. You see 12,000 fans in the stadium last week for games against the Atlanta Braves. I mean, obviously, I mean, you kind of got to turn the page and start over. And I was okay with the firing of Ruben. And, yeah, I mean, like I said, you definitely make some good points. I mean, you saw this team win 102 games. I mean, some other things that took place, but I mean, you got to look at right now. And I mean, I think the thing was, I mean, I just think he held on to some of these guys for too long. And then he finally was able to get rid of most of those guys from that error. I mean, we saw it this year with obviously J-Roll going to LA in the off season, Chase Utley finally getting traded, Papelbon finally getting traded, Hamels got traded, but I think it was kind of too late. And then obviously, I think you had a you talked about the public. Obviously, I mean, Ruben had a couple of different quotes taking jabs at the fans, but I mean, the big thing here, Steve, is I mean, I think you just need to turn the page, kind of get, I think, just a fresh set of eyes on this organization, and I'm okay with that. And I'm very interested to see who is going to be brought in here by Andy McPhail and ownership, and see who this new general manager is going to be.
Well, and listen, I understand that you're excited about the process. My point is with this is you fire this guy when that job's already been done. I mean, he's gotten rid of the players that it turns out, you know, we didn't want to believe that they were washed up or done, and I don't know how, in some cases, it happened so quickly. You know, on October 7, 2011, we were the best team in baseball going into a Game 5. We lost. We lost to a team we were better than. That was the best season that we had ever had, and it was really disappointing, but you know what? The best team doesn't always win. It seems like the next day, everything just came crashing down. Ryan Howard gets hurt. He's never the same again. But most importantly, you know, we had three pitchers here that were supposed to anchor this team for years. And you know, we've spent $250 million on two pitchers. And for all intents and purposes, their careers ended that night. And I mean, who would have thought that Roy Halladay that night, that would pretty much be his last competitive game pitch? So, I mean, you can't really, to me, you just can't pin that blame on anybody but Roy Halladay. And then the next point, to the guy that you got to point blame on there is Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee has been somehow escaped everything of this disastrous season. I mean, you've heard they've cleaned house, gotten rid of all of the names from the golden age of a few years ago. Ryan Sandberg gets fired, which he deserved to. He was terrible. But Cliff Lee is nowhere to be found in any of this. Now, here's a guy who no one can even remember the last time he pitched. He's at home making $25 million a year. He can't be traded because he's injured, and he's eating up all of that salary. I know there's no salary cap, but how are you going to bring in big-name free agents here when you have $25 million wrapped up in Cliff Lee? You can't even friggin' play.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, even saw Andrew Bynum on the Sixers bench when he was injured. I mean, you're right. I mean, Cliff Lee has been nowhere to be found. I mean, you haven't seen him in the dugout. Doesn't really get talked about. But, I mean, again, I mean, you can say what you want, but, I mean, the fact is, I mean, I just think you had to turn the page here. And I'm perfectly fine with having a fresh set of eyes look at this organization. And it's one of those things where, I mean, you look at the 2008 championship team, although Ed Wade was not the general manager at the time, obviously, I mean, he had a part in that. And I think you may have a similar situation here. I mean, yeah, hopefully we get a championship in like 4 years, but where, I mean, you do have some, I mean, I saw Reading last night, the AA team in the playoffs last night. I mean, that is a stacked team. I mean, they're a loaded team. They're going into the championship series starting on Tuesday. But, I mean, if this team does have success in maybe 3 years or 4 years down the road, I mean, Ruben would have played a part in that, especially if some of these prospects have a big impact in the coming years here. But it's just how it goes. I mean, it's a similar situation with Ed Wade, although he wasn't affiliated with the team in 2008. I mean, he was a part of that whole pie with those guys because he was around for Ryan Howard and Jay Sully and Jimmy Rollins.
So the thing is, I don't buy into the outrage and the mindset of the fans here with this. And, you know, I understand you wanted to get rid of some of those stars, but, you know, Halladay and Lee got rid of themselves. We haven't even had an option with that. And with Ryan Howard, you know, I think that you had to be somewhat patient because when this guy was healthy and when he was good up until that injury happened, I mean, this is one of the toughest outs in baseball. Guy has become one of the more easy outs now. I mean, I almost kind of felt like fans thought he should have been traded on his way to first base before he got injured, if that was possible. I mean, that would have been nice and all, but unfortunately, it's just it's not possible. But Zach, I think you make a great point there with the Ed Wade situation. Wade made some bad moves here. You know, Ruben did not trade a single prospect except for Carlos Carrasco, a legitimate major league starter or player or contributor or anything. Most of the guys he got rid of were kind of junk. But, you know, you remember during his acceptance speech there, Pat Gillick, accepting the World Series trophy, did thank Ed Wade for building that team. I think if this team it goes on to be successful, you got to thank Ruben for, you know, the platform that's been laid down right here, because this team will have a pretty good foundation to build with for the future with the players that you have now in Herrera and Franco on the major league team, Nola another one, and you know, you have three or four positions now where you have a top five prospect in the country is in our system. So this team's in good shape. It really doesn't come down to a general manager. It's really just going to be some patience here now that we have some tools to work with.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the minor league system is certainly in a better place right now than it was, say, 2 years ago. Yeah, they are just prospects. There's no guarantee these guys are going to be future Hall of Famers or future All-Stars, but at least on paper right now, I mean, he did do a good job of kind of replenishing the farm system. Like I said, I mean, I had a chance to see Reading last night in the playoffs of the Eastern League. I mean, that's a stacked team when you talk about guys like J.P. Crawford and Nick Williams and some of the arms they got down there. I mean, a lot of those guys will probably be in Lehigh next year and then maybe with the Phillies soon after. So the minor league system is definitely in a better state of mind right now. But, I mean, it's just how it goes. I mean, honestly, I was perfectly fine with turning the page here. And, I mean, hopefully we can – I'm excited to see who the new general manager is. But Ruben, I think, definitely did have more than enough time to do his thing here. And, I mean, obviously it is a business, Steve, and you look at it and you say, hey, this team has been out of the playoffs going on, I believe, 4 years now. The stadium's the most empty it's ever been since they moved into the new ballpark. And I mean, something needs to be done with that, and that's, I think, what ownership sees, and I agree with that.
All right, well, we'll have plenty of time to analyze that further. I don't want to spend the entire half hour we have here on this. Zeca, football started since we last spoke. Right now, we have one of the hottest teams in college football in this city, and NFL football kicked off today. Zeca, I thought it's been a really exciting opening day so far. To me, a lot of surprise teams this year. I thought you had some surprise finishes, and there was a whole lot of content here week one. what did you think of these opening day games today?
Yeah, well, I still think, Steve, I mean, yeah, definitely some surprise teams, but I still think you have to look at teams like New England and Green Bay. I mean, they're definitely still the class of the league right now. I mean, and although, like, teams like Seattle and the Colts lost, I definitely want to count those teams out of the mix. But, yeah, I mean, definitely some surprises, certainly today. I mean, Buffalo beating the Colts. St. Louis and Nick Foles knocking off Seattle. St. Louis actually has been the one team over the last couple of years that actually has played very well against Seattle, as a side note there. Some other things. Marcus Mariota, I mean, had a huge day, blowout win. They won 42-14. But, yeah, definitely I would say with the St. Louis win and Buffalo upsetting the Colts, a couple upsets, some surprises, some good performances. Definitely a good first Sunday, and then we get the Eagles tomorrow night at 7:10.
Yeah, certainly. You saw Mariota first few drives there, came up with a touchdown each time. And I consider the Bucs to be a pretty decent team. I mean, I know you have a rookie quarterback and Lovie Smith. You know, some like him, some don't. But I was pretty impressed with Mariota. And I get a chance. I watched the Chiefs the Texans game today. It's just an incredible thing. Sometime during the second quarter of that game, Eric Berry stepped onto the field for the first time. Just such an inspirational story there when you see someone come back from cancer and get back on an NFL field. I mean, that was pretty freaking awesome. But, Zeca, you're right. I mean, I think if you're a Baltimore fan, obviously, or a Colts fan, yeah, definitely nothing to be discouraged. I mean, those are some pretty good things. Even Houston's a pretty good team. They got to figure out what they're doing with a quarterback, but I expect them to rebound. So you're not going to see too much here from week one. And Dallas is another team obviously losing right now, who I expect big things from this year as well. So, this game tomorrow night, Zeca, this is going to be our first time seeing Sam Bradford, a quarterback. This is the first game of the Chip Kelly GM era. And a tough matchup here. I mean, you're going into the Georgia Dome, where Matt Ryan is 7-0 since becoming the starter there. And you're playing against a coach who was with Seattle last year, and you didn't certainly look too great against him. So this could be a pretty tough game. That Dome and Matt Ryan are a pretty lethal combination.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy game. I mean, you're not playing like the Jags or Oakland or anything. I mean, no one said it was going to be easy, obviously. I mean, Matt Ryan does have a pretty good record in the Dome. Not a lot of teams, even on down years, not a lot of teams end up coming away with a win down there. It's the only NFC team, I believe, that Chip Kelly has not faced yet, so as a side note. But, I mean, with that, I mean, I do think the Eagles are the better team. I do expect them to win this game tomorrow, but I don't think it's going to be easy. With that, I definitely do think they're the better team. I think, Atlanta was a 6-win team last year, I believe. This is I think a game that the Eagles definitely should win. And, I mean, again, I think the key of the whole season is going to be the health of Sam Bradford.
Yeah, when I look at this team, Eagles, I think they're very talented. The preseason doesn't really tell you anything. It was rewarding to see Bradford healthy. I think that's pretty much all you can take out of that. You can't really take away how they performed because it's preseason. It's meaningless. But I think, talent is something that this team has. That's not really what concerns me. My concern, is Chip Kelly. It comes down to philosophy. I feel like I say this all the time, and I think tomorrow is going to be is going to be interesting with that. You're going to see, what it's like for him to figure out what to do when you're facing one of the great quarterbacks that has tremendous weapons. I mean, the best 1-2 receiver punch in the league, in my opinion. What's going to come down to, I think, is, how are you able to keep those guys off the field? And, Chip doesn't seem to think that ball control and time of possession matter. I'm in the exact different boat there with that. But I think when you're facing the Falcons, Zeca, this is a team that is very weak at linebacker. Offensive line really are struggling. I believe they're going to be – they have a ton of undrafted free agents that are actually starters in that offensive line, from my understanding. And the other big injury they have, Devin Hester is not going to play, and that's huge. That's a guy that has given the Eagles trouble year after year. So, those are definitely positives there, but – to me, like I've said, it just it really comes up to how Chip Kelly. I think he's the what could potentially hold this team back or could be what makes them great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. I mean, you look at the first 2 years. Chip has had no problem with his teams, the Eagles. I mean, beating up on the lesser teams. I think we've seen that in the last couple years here. I mean, they went 10-6 in both years. So I think the games that the Eagles are expected to win, they probably are going to win. And it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, if it is Bradford or if it is Sanchez. But, I mean, we're in year three here. He's won 20 games the last 2 years. I mean, you got to ask yourself what needs to be done to kind of get to that next level, to get to the elite level. And obviously I think you definitely do need Sam Bradford healthy to get to that, to be a team that maybe could get to a conference championship game, maybe get to a Super Bowl. So you're going to need him for a whole season, Bradford. But I mean, the thing I told you this earlier tonight off the air. We beat the lesser teams before games we should win. We've won most of them. But, I mean, Chip hasn't beaten the elite teams yet. I mean, we saw last year, they got pounded by Seattle. They got pounded by Green Bay. The year before, they got destroyed by Denver. They lost a playoff game at home to the Saints. I mean, to get to that elite level, you have to start beating those elite teams. Now, I know you're not going to have probably many shots. I mean, the only game I really see on the schedule is a New England game where you have an opportunity to beat an elite team. But, I mean, that's what you need to do. I mean, to be the best, you have to beat the best. And, I mean, that's something that we haven't seen in 2 years under Chip Kelly. So, that's really the question that I have. I mean, can they take that next step and get to be an elite team? And, I mean, we'll find out this year because, they've beaten up on the bad teams in the NFL. We've seen that. Sure, they can definitely get to 9 or 10 wins. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, can this team take the next step? And, I mean, we'll find out, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think that, you're in a time in the NFL now where you have a lot of transition. You have a lot of fresh faces here at quarterback that could potentially be big stars. I mean, we saw Mariota play today. We saw Winston play today. Derek Carr is another guy who's an up-and-comer, and Nick Foles is one, in my opinion. You have a lot of young talent that, you know, can be the next Manning or Brady or Roethlisberger, some of these guys that are aging yet are still there. So I think that it's kind of, you know, hard for me. I've been asked about, like, wins and what do I expect with wins. I mean, for me, it's so hard to figure that out, because I just think there's so much more things that are questionable this season than ever, and just these regime changes. I mean, you saw the impact today with all of the coaches that are in the first year now, and really what that can do. I think that Buffalo game today was a prime example of just the impact that Rex Ryan coming in to have on that team. Or, you know, you saw a good performance today by the Chicago Bears, and, you know, that's what John Fox can do. I'm interesting to see how the Falcons do here with their new coach. So, you know, to me, I think there's just so much to figure out when you're looking at this competition now, to see who are the next group of emerging stars. And, you know, if Chip Kelly can be the coach that's part of that group and drive that, then I think that this could be an 11-12 win team. But if it turns out that's not the case, and, you know, like I said, my concerns about his philosophy are right, a lot of these teams in this schedule are probably a lot better than we think they are, just because there's been so much change. So I can't really give you an answer as to where I expect them to end up wins-wise, but I do agree with you, Zeka, that until I see them, you know, go on the road and beat a Seattle, or, you know, beat New England on the road, or beat Pittsburgh on the road, I'm not convinced. I need to see this team this season go in and beat an elite team on the road. I don't know that we particularly know who those teams are as much. I mean, there's definitely some, I think, like I said, some of the teams I mentioned, Indy as well, you got to put them in that category now. That's pretty safe to say. But this team has to win some of those games this year to really sell me on that. Because you can win 10, 11 games, make the playoffs, and, you know, have to face one of those teams and still lose. And if that happens too, I don't think that this is a successful season. But Zeke, you've definitely hit the nail right on the head with that one.
Yeah. Well, Steve, about 3 minutes left in the show, I do want to touch on a couple things. At Sixers great, Moses Malone actually passed away earlier today. Hall of Famer, unfortunately, just leaving us too soon at the age of 60. I mean, Malone was on that 83 Sixers championship team that beat the Lakers. Had a very solid career. Kind of, I guess you could say, put that Sixers team, I mean, they were close for a few years and then really put that team over the top, and they won the title in 83. Comes shortly after the passing of Darryl Dawkins, too, another Sixers great. So just tough couple months here for the Sixers, losing some past legends.
Yeah, I mean, one of the greatest players of all time, Malone. But I mean, to me, it just was eerie at how close him and Dawkins' deaths were. It's very strange, the probability of that, and I think we'll learn a little bit more about what happened to Moses. But you know, I wasn't around much for that. I mean, it was, you know, I was born in 83, but I do remember him coming back, actually, if you remember, for a short stint there. I think it was in 92. And, you know, that was an exciting thing, because you were a young fan like me, you got to learn a little bit about the history, and that's kind of when I first found out about Moses Malone, is when he did rejoin the team in the early 90s. He was, you know, way over the hill at that point. But, yeah, definitely is really sad when you lose a legend. Oh, we've lost a few this year. Chuck Bednarik passed away this year as well. So it's, you know, been sad to see some of these legends go. But obviously 60 is not very old, Zeke. That's very, very tragic.
Yeah, and about a minute left, Steve, and I got to talk about the Temple Owls. I mean, they're the story right now in local college football right now. Might become a national story in the coming weeks, months. But another big win for those Temple Owls last night. I mean, obviously they had the huge win over Penn State, first time since 1941, last week at a sold-out Lincoln Financial Field. And then, I mean, they were underdogs in that game. Last night they were a 6.5-point underdog to Cincinnati, win that game on the road by 8 points. This is a good football team. I mean, I've been hearing it all summer from one of my buddies telling me that this is going to be a solid Temple team, and it's definitely leaning towards that direction. And things might be getting interesting. I mean, they're 12-point favorites against UMass this coming Saturday. And they have some games against Charlotte and Tulane and Central Florida and East Carolina. I mean, there's a possibility here. I mean, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. I mean, I guess we can because we talk about it. I mean, as long as the players in that locker room and coaching staff don't get too far ahead of it. But, I mean, there's a possibility here. I mean, this team could possibly be undefeated going into the Halloween Notre Dame game at the Link. But this is, I mean, obviously it's always going to be an Eagles town, but in terms of football, but this, for the college people out there in Philadelphia, I mean, this may be one of the best Temple teams of our lifetime, at least.
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, first of all, remarkable that it took as long as it did for them finally to beat Penn State, but what a victory that was, Zekka. Something that, I mean, people have lived their whole life and passed away and never saw that happen. So, first time since 1941. And, I mean, these are two teams that play every couple years. So, that's pretty remarkable. I absolutely think that they're probably going to go into that Notre Dame game on Halloween undefeated. And, I mean, this is just going to be so much fun that this is finally happening because, you know, we never have a local college football team that really does mean something. And, you know, if you got a chance to watch this team in the past couple of weeks, I didn't watch the Cincinnati game because they were playing the same time as Georgia State, but you know, watch the Penn State game. I mean, they're pretty good. Penn State, some embarrassing moments, though. I don't know if anyone saw the video of – I don't know if it was as embarrassing as Dominic Brown giving himself the concussion in the sand. But Penn State allowing a sack on a two-man rush, you know, you can't get anything more humiliating than that. That team – needs to take a look at what's going on with offensive line and figure something out because and any kind of logical explanation for seven guys not being able to block two, I don't care if you have Bruce Smith and Deacon Jones out there in their prime, seven guys have got to take care of that. So to me, that was it. But I like this Temple team a lot. I was really impressed by their quarterback against Penn State.
Yeah, they got some talent. They definitely do. And this might be I know they still have 10 games to go in the regular season. I mean, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourselves here. But, I mean, this might be a very developing, interesting story to follow as we move on here. This could be a very special season for that team, on North Broad. I mean, the schedule's setting up very nicely. Notre Dame, I mean, they lost their running back for the season last week. They lost their quarterback for the season last night against Virginia. It's a very interesting story to follow, and I'm sure this isn't going to be the last time we're going to be talking about Temple football here.
Yeah. Real quick, one other thing I wanted to comment on here. You saw this is the first week of football here where you have this extra point on the 33-yard line. During the Kansas City Texans game, Texans, after their first touchdown, they did miss one. Is this something that I'm really concerned about this. I mean, we went into we ended the preseason with our kicker was not healthy. This is going to have a lot of impact on a lot of games here, and I think in a lot of situations, too, you're going to see teams more likely go for two because of this. But anything that really stuck out in your mind since this rule change took effect?
Yeah, I think it is going to make things a little more interesting. I mean, you may see teams losing games or not going into overtime and losing a game 28-27 or things like that. It is definitely going to make it more interesting. It's going to be another interesting side note to follow with the PAT. Again, I'm sure Chip, he had no problems going for two at Oregon, and I'm sure now, I think not just Chip, but I think other coaches in the league, you may be seeing teams just maybe going for two more. If they say, it's 6-0, they score another touchdown and they're up 12-0, you may see a team go for two and try to get to an even 14-0. So, that's an interesting side note, but I think it could play an impact. And I think especially when the playoffs get here, that may make for some interesting games.
Yeah, well, certainly, I haven't gotten an update on what the situation is with Cody Parkey, but honestly, the way things were going with our kicking game at the end of the preseason, I think it might be a safer bet to kind of go in there and try to have Ryan Matthews or DeMarco Murray punch it in than kicking some of those 33-yard extra points, because it was not going well just a couple of weeks ago. It was like one last thing I wanted to give shout out here was to my Georgia State Panthers last night. Wasn't a pretty victory, but it was our first Division I win. We're actually now first place in our conference. We're the only team that's played a conference game. And that was our first road win since 2012. So it was just a great night. I lost a bet with the athletic department over it. So I'll be making a donation tomorrow morning. And it's just it's great stuff. It's just been some really exciting things here with college football, and it's finally exciting for me to be able to participate with that, because we haven't really won any games at all since this has gotten started. So I can finally feel like I'm part of something here with this. It was really cool.
Yeah, and they'll be playing in State College in about exactly 2 years, I think, from now.
Right, nice. I think State College might be heading the same direction that they are, based on the performance there of in that Temple game. But we'll get to that another time. Zach, it was good stuff as always, and we'll probably be recapping the Eagles Cowboys next week too. So probably be two games happen when we talk next.
Yeah, and good definitely good luck to your Panthers, as I believe they make the long trek out to Eugene to take on the Ducks.
Yeah, it's going to take a few scores to win.
Yeah, and Oregon's coming, and Oregon's coming off a loss too, so that might even be worse.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens then.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Take care.